goodness, look at that rabble in America. They own firearms. It's so horrible. We're already training them with constant brainwashing and calls to worship Britannia and to hate our ancestral enemies, the Frenchies. Oh, the French. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back live. And now, for all of you Anglophiles out there, prepare for the pain. The funny thing is we're trying to save the dumbed-down British people. They are the attack dogs of the people that are soft-killing them. And nothing against England. I mean, I got a lot of English, you know, blood myself. You know, one of my ancestors, Gresham, invented the stock exchange on record. I had a British family came over on the Mayflower, both sides. And the King of England is the sworn enemy of humanity. He couldn't stand the Queen of England. That's in mainline history books. Because she was a nymphomaniac, demanding sex up to 20 times a day. Oh, you didn't know the Queen of England's husband was a Nazi? You didn't know his cousin, the start of the Bilderberg Group, was? If you don't wake up and say no, you deserve to die. And again, folks, I've got extensive British lineage. So did George Washington, and he absolutely defeated the Transylvanian king. They're not British, they're not Scottish, they're not Irish, they're not Gaelic, they're not Viking. Prince Charles is the heir of Count Dracula. It's mainstream news. They act like the Queen doesn't run anything, folks. She runs that whole country. She shuts down roads in England every day randomly to exercise her power. And everybody loved me doing the English accent.
You don't have a snotty... Shut up! Do you hear that I have a snot nose?
I am Piers Morgan, my dear boy. Go ahead now.
I do not breathe through my snoot, my proboscis, while I talk to you.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. The show is called 8 out of 10 Cats, and this is how our society is turning into a tyranny. Everything is now a big joke. The Queen of England has now joined with the United States and the West. And so the Transylvanian Queen knows which way the wind is blowing and can see that Trump and America are winning. Now she's coming in like the deus ex, the hero that comes in at the last moment when the main hero is going to lose. Queen Elizabeth, with this action, has now become the Han Solo deus ex at the moment. Live from the UK, it's Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys.
Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
Red alert, red alert, red alert.
I need money.
Red alert, red alert, red alert.
Andy and Kansas. Andy and Andy.
Stop it.
Andy and Kansas. Andy and Kansas.
It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you. I love you.
Hey, everybody. And hello, Manchester. And QED. What is up? I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes who like to sit around, miss my cat Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, bud?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot is DJ Danarchy. We do not deserve him. We do not deserve him. He has made, just to let everybody know, he has made different versions of the theme song for each one of our shows.
Listen,
and we don't deserve that.
Listen,
we just don't.
Danarchy is the best in the world, but they're not that different. Like, one of them mentioned Scotland.
All right. Okay. Let's undercut DJ Danarchy right out the gate.
Well, like, he heard that there were some people who said that the theme song wasn't long enough, and he took that to heart, and here we are.
Yeah.
3 minutes.
Yeah, that, you know what? A lot of people press the plus 30 button, right? And you only have to do that twice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Normally.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have to do it a lot now.
Yeah, you're gonna
it's gonna be a long time pressing that button.
Carpal tunnel, clicking the go forward just to get through the theme song. But no, real talk. Great job, Danarchy.
Yeah,
big ups.
Incredible. What's your bright spot, buddy?
My bright spot is we're living out in the UK on this trip, and it's the land of novelty candy, or at least to me. I guess it's normal to you all. And it's great. I've been having some great Haribo varieties that I have not been able to get in the U.S. I've been enjoying a lot of Maltesers and what's that? The crunchy, the rocks, the crunchies, the rocks. That honeycomb candy.
The crunchies, the rocks.
The crunchies, the rocks.
The crunchies, the rocks. That's like
screaming. That's like taking it into a patty cell.
That's something that somebody would lament. Yeah. It was the crunchies. It was the rocks.
The end of the movie is me banging on a hospital door. Let me out. The crunchies.
I'm going to start saying that in regular. Oh, the crunchies.
Rocks.
Oh, God, the crunchies.
It's almost like a call and response. Crunchies.
Rocks. The rocks.
I think jelly babies can go fly a kite, though. I'm not a fan. Whoa.
Whoa, controversy. Out the gate, controversial.
Lost.
Big
Lost
takes.
The audience.
Big takes coming from Dan.
I am not a fan. I don't like... they're in the shape of babies. That's weird. I expect them to factor heavily into a satanic conspiracy in the not too distant future. We do. They're kids, not babies. There's a massive difference between that. They've had a chance to live a little bit. I don't know.
It's an atheist convention. Where else are you going to eat babies?
That's a good point. That's a good point. I'm enjoying a lot of the candy, and I think I'm gonna have some real trouble because I have eventually, I'm gonna have to come down off this cloud.
Yeah.
Eventually I'm gonna have to go back to the US and I'm gonna have just our candy.
Yeah.
I got into Manchester and immediately saw the sign that said American candy on a shop. And I got furious because I'm like, I did not fly across the Atlantic for American candy. And then it comes, does everyone know this? Someone told me it's well-known fact that that's like a tax shelter.
Yeah.
How the fuck does everybody know this? And like nothing is done about
corruption,
it.
Corruption, man. It goes all the way to the top.
And that is what our episode is about today.
American candy.
Candy corruption must stop.
Willy Wonka is going down.
So Jordan, today we have an episode to go over.
Interesting.
Yep. We are going to be talking about August 24th, 2009. Ooh.
What happened in 2009 again?
I was about to ask you that.
That's a good question.
It's a fun game to see if you have any idea
All right.
why that might be the date that we
August
chose.
August 26th, 2009.
Nope.
All right.
24th.
August 24th, 2008.
Not sure it would make...
What day is it?
2009.
What
the year
was going
is
on?
August 24th, the All day, right. 2009.
I was like 22 at the time.
Happy birthday.
So I was drinking.
Yep.
That's what happened on August 24th, 2009.
It's not what the episode's about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What is it about?
So at first glance... this might seem like a really strange date to choose, somewhat random. But August 24th, 2009 was the 50th anniversary of possibly a momentous day in history. That was the day that The Guardian took on the name that we know it by today, which is The Guardian.
Oh.
That paper.
I thought you were going to say a different name.
The fucking Guardian. So that paper was founded in 1821, largely as a response to the aftermath of the Peterloo Massacre. The economy was in shambles and people felt politically disenfranchised, demanding changes to Parliament to reflect their needs. The demands they had were things like, we should be able to vote, which was pretty radical at that time in the 1820s.
It still is, honestly, in the United States at least.
Yeah. On August 16th, 1819, a large gathering took place here in Manchester, where one of the speakers was a somewhat famous working-class radical named Henry Hunt, who would go on to later years be elected to Parliament, where he was actually the first person in that body to ever propose letting women vote. But
he was killed shortly after. Ripped limb from limb.
But he did that stuff in government in the 1830s, and he had some bad times to get through first. Hunt was a particular target of the authorities because he believed that getting large groups of people together and collectively making a demand was a politically useful tactic. So when he was set to speak at this 1819 rally, the magistrates in town were concerned that it would spark a riot. The conditions that normal people were living in were desperate, and Hunt was a notoriously good speaker, so this was a potential powder keg. The authorities ultimately made a very bad decision and set about trying to arrest Hunt while he was on stage. This was a crowd estimated to be at least around 50,000 people, and Hunt showed up at about 1 p.m. The magistrates were watching from a nearby building, and when he got such a huge response when he took the stage, they realized that they should probably do something. They got to act. The crowd was so large and packed in that they decided that they needed to send in a fucking cavalry. So they sent for horsemen, and in their rush to get to the site of the rally, one cop knocked over a lady named Anne Fildes, who was carrying her 2-year-old son in her arms. She survived, but the young kid William died.
What, a cop murdered somebody?
First casualty.
What?
He was not alone that day, though. Thanks to the unnecessary chaos of trying to arrest Hunt and other radicals, at least 17 other people lost their lives, and hundreds were injured. Some were trampled by the cavalry, one was killed in revenge the following day, and one guy named John Rhodes was stabbed in the head, and then his death was determined to have been from natural causes.
Well, I mean, it's fairly natural if you got a knife in your head to die.
Cause, effect. Henry Hunt was arrested and charged with high treason and sedition. He served his sentence, and when he got out, he got right back to his political causes, embodied by the slogan, quote, equal laws, equal rights, annual parliaments, universal suffrage, and the ballot. In many ways, you could look at this situation and see some parallels. You could look at January 6th as like a watered-down Peterloo, sure. And also it would be the exact opposite.
Yeah. Evil-loo.
Yeah. In the same way, you could see Henry Hunt as kind of like an Alex Jones type, but sure. With diametrically different political ideas.
Right.
Basically, they're similar in that you have a rally that's pretty big, and it goes bad, and there's a rousing political speaker there. Huh. In the aftermath of the massacre, the government cracked down on radical working class and left-wing activity. The six acts were passed, which were meant to limit any radical group and their ability to organize. The Seditious Meetings Act made it so you needed government permission to hold any meeting of more than 50 people.
That worked.
We're done. We can't do it.
Yeah. Got us.
And any meeting also where you intended to deliberate about public grievances, or any meeting where you, quote, were considering, proposing, or agreeing to any petition, complaint, remonstration, declaration, restitution, or address.
How dare you speak to the wealthy fools?
Are you doing an Alex Jones impression from the intro?
That was my best. Yeah, that was my best.
More relevant to our matter today is that the Newspaper and Stamp Duties Act, which made it way harder to put out any kind of publication unless you had a lot of money. That act begins, quote, pamphlets and printed papers containing observations upon public events and occurrences, tending to excite hatred and contempt of the government and the constitution of these realms, as by laws established, and also vilifying our holy religion, have lately been published in great numbers and at very small prices. It is expedient that the same should be restrained. The act required fees on publishing and, quote, that no person shall print or publish for sale any newspaper or any pamphlet or any other paper containing any public news, intelligence, or occurrences, or any remarks or observations thereon, or upon any matter of church or state, until he or she have entered into a recognizance before a baron. If you wanted to publish, you needed to enter into a bond, which would be used to pay any fines that you might rack up while publishing.
I have only one thing to say to that.
Yeah.
The Crunchies in the Rocks.
The Crunchies in the Rocks.
The Crunchies in the Rocks, man.
You were basically automatically on probation if you were trying to publish something.
Yeah. Rich people are great.
Yeah. So in that environment, speech was a little chilled.
Why?
And nonconformist publications were becoming rarer and rarer. And then on May 5th, 1821, what we know as The Guardian published their first issue, specifically in an attempt to provide a voice that was being eliminated from the public space.
They had a lot of misspellings then, too, just in case you were wondering.
Also, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. They were founded and may have been a bit preferable to other publications at the time, but they were very hostile to the cause of people like Henry Hunt and other radicals. They would be like an outlet that thought they were pretty liberal now, but they were also they also thought the writers in Hollywood should stop striking.
Right.
Real working class voices condemned the paper at the time. So maybe people shouldn't be too surprised that they famously supported appeasing people who kept slaves.
Yeah.
So they started on May 5th. But why are we doing an episode about it on August 24th? That seems weird.
I swear it's August 26th.
And that's and it's because on August 24th, they changed their name to The Guardian. Previously, it was called
London Guardian. I remember articles in London Guardian like 15 years ago that London Guardian.
It was the Manchester Guardian. Previously, it was called the Manchester Guardian. It's from here in Manchester and has never been called the London Guardian. And yes, all of this introduction and this entire lead up was an elaborate way to mock Alex for constantly calling it the London Guardian.
Let's put that at 12 minutes for that punch. It's worth every minute. Worth every minute.
And now, from here on out, the rest of the episode will have nothing to do with this.
Nope. Nothing to do with it. Yep. We won't even bring up the Guardian again.
I doubt we will.
I really don't think we will.
And if we do, we'll call it its honorific name.
Yeah, London Guardian.
The sweet,
Guardian.
Sweet London Guardian. So, Jordan, you ready to jump into this? You want to
I
hear
am.
The first clip?
Yes, please.
You all ready to hear the first clip? Woo! All right. It sounds like it might be current day, but it is not. This is from 2009.
Also, it's finally getting attention out on the internet. I'm proud to say we broke it back on August 6th, and now people are finally noticing that a big international swine flu symposium with government officials that was held over the weekend in Washington, D.C., talks about quarantines, lockdowns of cities, mass graves, arresting citizens, the public schools if your child shows any signs of illness, taking them without asking you to a local FEMA center. It's all in there. And Paul Watson just got a new story up on prisonplanet.com. Authorities prepare to seize kids during swine flu pandemic.
Yeah.
So authorities are going to seize kids from their parents, I assume.
Yeah, yeah.
Presumably. Not just like random kidnappings across the street.
He doesn't actually specify, but I would assume, yes. Yeah. It's not just random kidnapping.
Right.
Yeah, so that sounds familiar, right?
Swine flu.
Yeah.
Sometimes I get so very tired. So very tired. When are we not going to do this again? Every 10 years, they're going to lock you in your homes and quarantine you.
Yeah, you know, it is really strange, though. That you have all of the same, like, essentially building block pieces of, you know, what happened in 2020.
Yeah.
It's just things went differently.
Yeah.
Like, Alex was preparing to do exactly what he has been doing around COVID.
Right.
But around swine flu then. He saw the opportunity, and things just didn't go that way.
Right. No, it was better, in a sense, for him, because everybody didn't die of swine flu, mm-hmm. which is nice. And since we know how he treats diseases, he probably would have gotten swine flu more than four times.
That is true. That is true.
So, I mean, it was a good thing. But then you think about the COVID epidemic, and that was a good thing because he made a shit ton of money off of that because it never ended and isn't ended.
Sure. I was wondering how it would go if things had gone differently in 2009 and like swine flu had become as large of a pandemic. I feel like it couldn't have gone the same for him. Like, were people more sane back then and they wouldn't have picked up on it? Or what? I can't imagine like Dr. Marbles showing up in 2009.
I'm going to throw this out at you. Okay. You add a actual pandemic, mm-hmm. killing people, and Obama in the White House, you get January 6th every day in 2010.
Ooh, you might. Yeah. You might.
Those Tea Party people would go apeshit.
Yeah, but I agree that there would be that kind of chaos. But I do, I wonder about these, like, real niche weirdo specialists that Alex has on, you know?
Yeah.
They weren't around. No. Marie Malebo might have been with her laminated vaccine cards.
Ooh, that would be fun. I don't think we're going to be able to take over the country with those, though.
No. So I'm going to tell you this right off the jump here. Not a lot happens on this episode. There's a lot to have fun with, but not a lot happens on this episode. He's sort of ranting a bit about this the swine flu fear that he has. But then I got very distracted because this commercial played. And I was like, oh, this is wonderful. This is how he's making his money back then.
This is Alex Jones. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearms training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XV pistol in the caliber of your choice.
Wow! To be illegal, right? That has to be illegal.
Yeah, he's got a sweepstakes going to give you a cheap gun.
Give people free guns. I just feel like that's a rule.
I think you know, state by state, maybe.
Yeah, that's fair.
It might be illegal.
I mean, it doesn't get much more unregistered than the unnamed millionaire patriot gave you a free gun of the caliber of your choice.
Yeah, a murder investigation is going on. Where'd they get the gun? Oh, sir, it's the millionaire patriot.
Where'd they get the gun? Raffle.
Yep.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I actually do know from looking into some stuff a ways back that there are some states that allow you to give away guns and raffles.
That's insane.
Yep. It is.
God bless America.
Okay. I love that the Millionaire Patriot is a weird, shadowy figure that I have no idea what he's up to. He wants to give you a gun, which is great. And Alex took the time to do the voiceover. Yeah. He doesn't do that often.
I don't believe that he's a millionaire or a patriot.
Whoa.
I think this has to be a scam somehow.
You think this is like a who wants to marry a multimillionaire situation?
Did that guy have multi-millions?
Like maybe by a thin technicality. Ooh. He had like a $2 million and $1. Rick Rockwell. Yep, I remember his name.
Of course you do.
Married Darva Conger. Then they got divorced.
I wonder why.
I think it was actually an annulment, because she wanted to make it clear, I did not sleep with that guy. That was a lot of fun.
He didn't have enough multi in The Millionaire.
Yeah, I do feel like that's when America broke. I think that show, you can trace it all back. It's all been downhill since. Anyway, I like when Alex does the voiceover for the commercials. That one and there's the other commercial he has where he's like, you wanna get a house, you gotta look for Home Gain. Look for the Home Gain gorilla, and you know that it's high quality. Like, what? Looking for a gorilla mascot?
I mean, you gotta look for the gorilla.
That's not how I'm gonna
then
buy a house.
Then you know you've got high quality.
Yeah. So there's a bit of teasing that goes on.
Okay.
On this this episode, the beginning here. And Alex has a huge announcement that is gonna rock the world. But he can't just come out and say it. We all know
that. No.
Because humans are designed to hype. Yes. And so we get a little bit of that here.
I also have a Jesse Ventura interview I did last Wednesday, and it's already Monday, in Los Angeles. Very interesting, very informative. We're going to play at least part of that tomorrow as well. So that is coming up today. In about an hour, I will announce the name of the new film and what it covers and what it goes over. And then my guys will do a write-up on the film.
You could just hear the audience, like, listening on the radio going, holy shit, holy shit. We're going to get the name of his new film. What, there's a new film?
Yeah.
Very exciting. This is 2009. This is post-Endgame.
Yeah. What's the one that's post-Endgame?
Well, I mean, there was the Obama deception.
Right.
But that's not this.
That's not this.
Obama deception had already come out in 2009.
Well, he'd been deceiving us way before that.
Right. 2 days into Obama being in office, Alex put out the Obama deception.
Yeah. You got him.
Give the guy a chance. Nope. So, he has a new film coming out. Very exciting. It's terrible. I've watched it. I'm not going to ruin the tease and the excitement of him, you know, wanting to get the name, you know, have people excited about the name. But, yeah, it's bad. We might cover it at some point.
I was about to say, you've been so merciful up to this point.
I was this close to doing it, but it's visually unstimulating. you might notice Alex is a little low register. He's pretty slow. That doesn't change.
Nope.
And boy, is that not a giant, complex, huge issue in and of itself. I am absolutely fired up right now. I mean, what do? You make films, the radio show suffers. You focus on radio, the films suffer. You focus on films and radio, then you've got your basic human resources crap to deal with constantly.
That's why you hire your dad.
And everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a perfectionist. I'm far from it. I'm somebody that does launch operations. It's just, I don't know, my plate is so full. So full of information. I have 7 stacks of vital, off-the-charts news of such import it makes my head spin. And my head is spinning.
It's spinning.
All the articles are from the London Guardian, by the way.
Yeah, at least a few certainly are. That's the guy who's not doing well.
I mean,
he's fired up.
He's fired up.
Fired up,
which is good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe him, which is bad.
Yeah, you should see him like before his coffee. He's just ball. Oh.
You get why he gets to amphetamines. You know, get why he gets there. You can't say I'm fired up more than once before you go. Let's go.
Yeah, you hire the wrong person or the right person, and they take care of that problem, that fired up problem for you. I think he makes a decent point. That is that, like, if you focus too much on making these documentaries, you don't have time for just do anything. You're on the air right now. Like, what is this taking from?
If I focus on the films, then right. When I go on to radio, I spend my entire show complaining about how I have to do films.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm fired up and sleepy.
Yeah. That makes sense. And I hate human resources. Crap.
Yeah. It is annoying work a lot of the time.
No, that's
fair. A lot of paperwork. A lot of you have to scold people who do wrong. Alex doesn't want to do that. He's a party boy.
Yeah.
He likes to hang out and have a good time. Talk about the globalists.
Yeah.
Y'all aren't ready for this next clip. I'm just going to tell you that right off the bat.
Never were.
I could sit here and tease this for half an hour. And it would still land so hard that this might be part of justifying why I decided to do this episode. Oh, boy.
The old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away. But I remember everything. What have I become?
My sweetest friend.
My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end.
All right.
And you could have it all.
Let's just do this. I've thrown out the news. You know, Obama is headed towards 40 points. He's at 41 right now, which has never before been seen 8 months into a presidency.
Whew, that was heavy.
I like whenever it's fun whenever he talks over the clips, but yeah. I like whenever it feels like he's giving the line.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, he got that one wrong.
Yeah, I know. But yeah. I mean, like, he's like, Johnny, next line. All right, come on, buddy.
Mm.
It's great.
Yeah, it's almost like being a hype person, but in reverse. It's making Johnny Cash your hype person. I think anytime you got him singing along with a Hurt, you know you're in a bad place.
He's fired up, though.
My empire of dirt.
Why would somebody who's so fired up sing along to Hurt?
Yeah. This is like, you know, bottle of Jameson is empty. It's the end of the night. It's noon and you're on air.
That's just not a noon song. It's just not a noon song.
Although it is the kind of song you like experience like Alex is experiencing it and then say, fuck it, I'm not doing my job.
I'm not doing my job.
You're throwing out the news. I don't even care anymore. So at this point, Obama's approval ratings were about the same as ever. In the high teens for Republicans, around 50-50 for independents, and in the high 80s for Democrats. The overall numbers were a slip from the highs of the early 2009, you know, with his, when he just got into office.
Yeah.
There was little to judge approval ratings on. So, you know, as a president, everyone's like, hooray. In January, the GOP had approval ratings around 40% for Obama, and the independents were at about 60 or so. But their real feelings started to come through over time, and that number dropped. As for the Democrats, there was a slip, but it was a difference between like 88 and 84% compared to 41% and 16% for the Republicans.
That's a pretty big difference. I wonder what could have changed all of those people's minds.
I don't know.
Can't think of anything about a president at that time.
Nope. Benghazi!
Benghazi!
It's not going away! Mm-mm. Charlie Daniels, rest in peace. Maybe. Through his presidency, Obama's approval rating among the GOP never really got above 20% and spent most of the time under 10. Now, this wasn't all because the right wing is filled with racists and crypto racists, sure. But it's a factor.
I mean, let's.
It's a piece of it. It's a piece of it.
Yeah. If we were eating a pizza, I would have a pizza and you would have a slice.
So we know that Alex is fired up.
Super.
Yeah. He's listening to her.
I am fired.
He's decided to throw out the news.
I will throw
the news. I will make you bored. So Alex decides to expand a little bit on his feelings of being fired up.
And I guess that's why I'm so frustrated. Not in a bad way, not in a good way. It's just frustrated. It's burning. I'm burning with something past desire. It's I'm seized by it. It's just, it's past disgust. It's past anger. It's indescribable. It's I am completely overwhelmed from the tips of my fingers to the depths of my guts, from the recesses of my brain to the tips of my toes with wonderment that government is so outrageously corrupt, so outrageously evil, so outrageously kleptocratic and larcenous. I mean,
it's larcenous.
It's larcenous.
This is filling time right here, my man.
This is a Lionel level of adjective usage.
Sure.
Too much?
Yeah, thesaurus style.
From the tips of my fingers to the depths of my guts.
Right in them guts.
Is a very strange distance
this could be like
to measure.
This could be this far apart. That's not very far.
Yeah, it doesn't feel that far away at all.
My fingertips are touching my stomach.
Now, but does he suggest that you have to unravel your entire intestine? Because that's a big distance.
Or do you cut off your fingers and send them to space?
Or do you cut them off and eat them? Oh. Then they're right there.
Then it's a negative distance.
Yes.
We've got to consult a scientist. What then? Yeah, but he's fired up.
Yeah. Yep.
He's in like being held by his amazement at the passion of how incensed he is about government corruption.
Yeah, he's
because Obama has
disgusting
approval ratings that are like at 40.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, because it's corrupt. It's kleptocratic. It's larcenous.
Sure.
It steals things. It thieveries. It burgles. It takes. Mm-hmm. It misappropriates. Breaks your leg. That's all I got.
Nailed the landing.
Thank you.
So Alex gets a little bit contemplative about the great journalistic work he's done in his career. And the example that he brings up here is actually something that he was wrong about, which is very funny how confident he is about this.
You know, coming up later in the last hour, if I have time, we actually broke this 8 years ago on my local TV show. I was sent videos by people inside CNN. And that's where this video comes from. And then 4 years ago, there's a Prison Planet article on it, and a year ago on it. I just point that out because people keep emailing me saying, have you seen this? Have you seen this video of fake CNN broadcast at the start of the Gulf War inside a sound studio with a blue screen, without the blue screen, chroma key turned on, with them staging and saying that sarin Scud missiles have been launched? Yes, we broke it. We know about it.
He broke it.
Did he break the missiles?
No.
Oh.
No, but he broke this story because this is a fucking serious journalistic outlet, and they're ahead of the news.
Scud missiles.
Yeah, but it wasn't. He was wrong about that. They weren't fake shots or anything. But this is that that thing that Alex brings up when he tries to justify his argument that Anderson Cooper's nose disappeared
right.
in the Sandy Hook interview. He's like, I know blue screen when I see it. Like they faked that coverage in Iraq. Or,
which they also didn't fake. So right. they have faked nothing, and he's claimed fakery.
Now, what's great about a clip like this is that he's talking about how he broke that story. He can't even now, in hindsight, be like, hey, someone else got that wrong, and you know, maybe I just passed along some bad information. Yeah. No, that's you. You did that.
Taking responsibility is a bad idea for him.
It feels good in 2009, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That is true. I appreciate that this show, up to this point, has seemed very whiny.
Yeah. That won't change.
Yeah, it feels like I would... it's bad, but I kind of wish more news anchors should just whine for a day. You mm-hmm. know, just like, I don't even fucking want to be here.
I think if that were the standard, our world would be very interesting.
It would.
If every news outlet was just like, meh.
I don't know.
Outbursts.
We're throwing away the news today.
Yeah.
What?
Put on Herd.
Wolf Blitzer.
I'm in a mood. Someone put on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald. But I think it's really funny, too, that, like, in some ways, there's a snake eating its own tail situation with this clip. Because it's such a justification for Alex's shit with the Sandy Hook stuff
yeah.
that ended up costing him $1.5 billion.
Yeah.
And then here he is in the past starting the time loop. He did this to himself.
Yeah.
Fucking fascinating.
It is very strange. All yeah. of this is very strange.
It is.
Yeah.
Quite. So, Jordan.
Yeah. Are we hyping again?
Oh, man. So hype.
So hype?
Except this time it is kind of hype.
Oh, hey.
Yeah, his blood pressure does go up a little bit. But then he says some really
does
stupid...
Does he whine about it?
He whines about something that maybe an adult should be above.
That's the trick of evil, is that people think it gets them ahead. They think they get away with something. You don't get anything but hell and death out of evil. And I'm not on some preacher high horse here, ladies and gentlemen. I got a big, fat, evil streak right down the middle of my back. That's why I can see this stuff. But I got a lot bigger stripe right down my soul of love and liberty and sweetness and goodness.
Sweetness.
And I just can't stand it anymore. I can't stand it anymore. It all just coming on the show with sponsors and giggling and taking calls and having fun almost does the job for the enemy. Just kind of calmly talking about all this like it's no big deal. And I'm so sick of people. I mean, I notice that the same COINTELPRO people will be in hundreds of YouTube videos under different fake accounts that are designed to look like real accounts saying the same thing under different names. And I just think about those idiots getting corporate money and government money and Pentagon money on record to attack me. Don't you jackasses get it that this is real and this isn't a joke? The sick joke is, I don't care if you make stuff up and try to put doubts in people's minds about me and, you know, do all the little talking points you follow.
Thanks for your permission.
Yeah.
I guess YouTube comments are COINTELPRO.
It's interesting that COINTELPRO has fallen that far.
Yeah.
Y'all used to murder Fred Hampton and shit.
low rent efforts. It's impossible that people would just not like me and post... like, disapproving things on my YouTube.
Like to think about what he's really saying is that there are these people who've spent their entire lives in like borderline clandestine activities,
mm-hmm.
right? And then they were like, okay, use all of that experience and write like, you suck first.
Yeah. Yeah.
This guy is, you know, like mm-hmm. You can do more than that.
Alex is just trying to get you to give money to the millionaire patriot. Yeah, these comments are COINTELPRO.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he probably... I mean, I wish... Let me take that back. I don't wish. But I think it would be interesting to live inside the head that legitimately thinks any kind of negative thing is a plot yeah. against you.
Yeah.
It's got to be freeing.
There's a lot of people plotting against me, I'll tell you that right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh,
other
yeah.
than me, who is it?
I mean, it's mainly a bunch of different yous that live inside my head.
Ah, yes, okay. And your dogs are up to no good.
No, they're beautiful. Don't you dare speak ill of Fanny and Jake.
I don't know. Jake was saying some shit the last time I was over.
Oh, that's true. That's true. He does have an evil streak in him longer than you can imagine, which is why he understands things. But the good stripe, the fruit stripe of goodness, the delicious gum of saviors.
I applaud you not going with red stripe. That would have been more on brand.
No, I mean, what do you want? You want me to talk about booze all the time?
So we have some big breaking news that happens in the middle of this show. And this is very exciting because this is news that Alex predicted.
Okay.
And so this is like Alex Jones being ahead of the news while it's happening, while it's breaking. Oh, just so exciting.
I mean, I've still got people running around saying I'm lying about FEMA. My God, I understand all their information. I told you Madoff would die of cancer months ago on air. We don't have the staff to find that. He just walked in with Reuters. Madoff dying of cancer, fellow inmates saying, see? I just understand everything. I understand everything they're doing. You understand the torture of this? Knowing everything they're going to do, how they're going to do it, how their tricks work. And I'm not saying I'm smart. I don't understand how I know everything they're going to do. Did you not hear me over and over again say Madoff would soon die of cancer? I said over and over again, and we need to just hire an employee who just marks down my predictions. Ow, man, I almost broke my hand earlier when I was slamming into the... I just can't do it anymore.
Can't do it anymore?
Can't do it anymore. That was a roller coaster.
Play hurt again.
That was a roller coaster of emotion.
Now he's fired up.
Yeah. Everybody's lying about me. I don't care anymore.
I can't do this. I just want to go home.
And that's why I'm angry. And it's not coke.
It's wild that this is at a period of time where I'm like, I don't actually think he's on stimulants.
Yeah.
You know, I just think this is him.
Yeah, that's possible.
Now, definitely cocaine. Okay. But back then, just being a wild dude. You might notice there's a story that happens. He's talking about something else, and there's that pause, and someone has come in to bring him a story from Reuters, and that underlying story is about Bernie Madoff dying of cancer.
Right.
Which he didn't do.
Bernie Madoff didn't die of cancer?
No. But so the underlying story that is brought in, that Alex thinks that this proves that his prediction was correct, it's about other inmates alleging that Madoff has cancer. This isn't the kind of proof that justifies that kind of outburst.
Is Madoff dead? Is he still alive?
He is. He is dead.
What? He is still alive. Holy shit.
I was answering your questions in order.
Right.
Is he dead? Is he alive? Possibly.
He is.
Yeah. So he died of heart disease in 2021, a good 12 years after this amazing prediction that Alex had didn't come true.
That is a lot of confidence for a man to live another 12 years.
It's got to be such a burden for Alex to be right about everything.
He can't do it anymore.
Oh, can't do it.
Just knowing everything that's going to happen, being able to predict when people won't die.
Right.
And how long and they won't die
they
for.
Won't die. Oh.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I promise you won't die.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Bernie Madoff's got cancer. He doesn't. Put on Trent Reznor's version of Hurt.
Yeah, we have to play a different version of Hurt for each individual tragedy.
So Alex, he's struggling with this news of Bernie Madoff not having cancer, but he thinks that he does in this moment. And so he descends into a bit of a hole about how hard it is to be right all the time.
It's so difficult.
And I'm just so glad he threw out the news. I mean, just because otherwise we wouldn't get this kind of stuff.
Madoff, same deal. Either they're going to stage his death or they gave him a quick acting cancer or he was already dying of cancer. And he said, look, the 100+ billion we've stolen and leveraged, let my family have it. I'll go ahead and go to jail with this cancer. But I said on air repeatedly he would die of cancer or get cancer in the next 6 months. And I said that, what, 3-4 months ago? I mean, I just can't. It's torture. It's torture knowing how they operate because I have to watch them get away with it with the gullible public. And I have to have the mindless, dumbed-down people argue with me all day. Bernard Madoff, convicted of swindling $65 billion, it's more like $100, through the biggest ever Ponzi scheme, has told fellow prison inmates that he is dying of cancer, the New York Post reported on Monday.
So now it's interesting, because what Alex is doing there, in theory, is trusting the word of a guy who's doing 150 years in jail for fraud.
Sure.
Which seems like an iffy choice. So that's a person who has a lot of integrity. You gotta believe him. If the Post is reporting that Madoff is telling other prisoners that he has cancer, then it's just got to be. It's just got to be.
Why true. Would he lie now?
So on this same day, on August 24th, 2009, Reuters released an article with the headline, quote, Prisons Bureau says Madoff does not have cancer. Alex probably missed that one. Or better, it must have been proof of the cover-up that's going on. You know, Reuters is doing damage control because Alex saw through the bullshit.
Yeah, that's why they, after giving him the quick-acting cancer, mm-hmm. Alex revealed that he had the quick-acting cancer. So they had to quickly unquick-act the cancer.
Take it out.
Yeah. Like, and then let him live for another 12 years until they gave him heart disease.
You could put a straw up to where you put the cancer in.
Smart. See, I was thinking more like one of those cow things where you put your whole hand in there and you gotta...
you mean giving birth? Is that animal husbandry?
No. Haven't you ever seen that people stick their hands in cows?
I want to get off the subject as fast as possible.
That's what I've got for you. This is all my farm knowledge. I know that sometimes people stick their hands into the guts of a cow.
I think you're talking about like artificially inseminating a cow.
I'm talking about all kinds of shit, man.
Let's talk about less types of shit.
Okay.
Alex is wrong about this, and that is quite fun. But it does lead to a little bit of a disturbing rant, which we will all partake in and enjoy. This is unpleasant. Sort of. I don't know. Sometimes I forget exactly what some of these clips are, and it just says, this is a disturbing rant. That could mean it's disturbing because it's actually disturbing, or it could just be like, this guy's not doing well. So we'll see.
I'm just so alive. It's being conscious, being aware, being informed, trying to be informed. The decision to not be deceived. The decision to know what's going on in the world. The decision to want to know the secrets of the universe. The decision to be involved. The decision to face your fear. The decision. Setting your mind in motion. It is by will alone that you set your mind in motion. It's incredible. But they train people to think it's cool to be mentally lazy, and people get into being stupid, into wearing shutters on their eyes, blinders, into being mindless and into being selfish. You are missing out on the most incredible adventure ever!
Don't invite me next time.
My life has been one amazing adventure.
Oh, boy.
And I just ask God, how much more discernment am I going to be given? I mean, this is like almost more than I can handle right now.
The crunchies! The rocks! How much more discernment can you give me, God? What must I do?
Yeah, I think that I realized why I thought that was disturbing.
Yeah.
I think that became pretty clear. Also, that's what I'm going to start doing whenever I invite people on a float trip.
Yeah.
Is just go, you are missing out on a great adventure! If they don't want to come along with me and get drunk on a river.
Yeah. They would be.
Yeah, certainly. So, Alex is a bit cocky. And this is definitely not an uncommon thing for him to get a little cocky.
No, I haven't seen that before.
But this is going back to the subject of that CNN footage that he has that is right. He thinks is fake.
Green screen, yeah.
Yes, but is actually he's wrong about.
Right.
In the last hour, I want to go over a whole host of issues, but also some CNN video clips of fake news and comparing how shoddy their fake news, all CIA run, was back in 1991 compared to now. I mean, you watch it, it's glistening. It is all just totally actor-driven. So I want the public to become aware of this. I know you're aware of it at an intellectual level, but let it really consciously sink in deep down. Okay.
This thing I'm wrong about?
Yeah.
Let it really sink in.
What does it mean to let it really sink in?
Good question.
Like, how would you let it sink in?
Well, first I'm going to need to see your wallet.
All right.
Give it to me.
Okay.
And I let that sink in.
Damn. I feel like I should have seen that coming.
You're poor now. I have taken all your money and given it to the billionaire patriot.
For a free gun.
Nope. A chance at a free gun.
That's right. That's right. I want to follow up on that. Did anybody ever actually get that free gun?
I'm going to guess not.
I bet they didn't. I bet these people are dishonest actors.
I wouldn't be too surprised. Yeah. I think the thing is, he was like the millionaire patriots running like a gun training thing, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're on the same page.
Yeah.
So Alex gets really mad here about how he can't do interviews with folks because he just turns them all down. He has too much integrity or
too
something.
Much.
The whole media, the whole culture is, the dominant corporate media is the false world pulled up over your eyes to blind you from the truth, to paraphrase The Matrix. That's why when the AP calls or Reuters calls or the Wall Street Journal calls, they call all the time, every week. I go, no, I'm not doing the interview. And they go, why? And I go, because if this isn't a hit piece, then it won't be published. And then they always call back, Reuters, AP, Wall Street Journal, and they say, oh, my gosh, this never happened to me before. Yeah, it was a fair story. And they just said no. Executives say no. I've never had them come down and do this. I go, yeah, they chose you because of your previous writing and your mindset and your worldview. They don't even have to handle you. They can look at your work. They know your type. You plug in. The minute you get off their reservation, you do that five or six times, they're going to fire you. But see, these smart-ass reporters never believe it until it happens to them. And then they start saying, well, why won't you let me come interview you? Well, why won't you let... Because I know it isn't going to get published. Fine. Come here, waste my time for a day, and then you'll see I'm right. I'm sick of it!
Eesh.
I appreciate that he did kind of convince himself into taking the interviews at the end of that.
And really put himself in a position where he was going to be a great interview subject.
Yeah.
This is probably going to be something that's going to get published.
Yeah.
He's not going to be screaming at him.
Nope.
The screaming at the reporter about how nothing ever gets published and this is just going to be a hit piece.
Yeah.
Really fertile stuff for a reporter to work with.
Yeah. I like the idea of the executives coming down to the newsroom to a specific reporter and being like, you've been mean to Alex in the past. Have you not?
Mm.
All right.
Well, you're the one that hit in here.
You got to write this.
Yeah.
You got to write this. We will not pay you anything extra.
It's a really good way to justify never having any stories about you to say, like, well, I just refuse to cooperate because any that do exist will be hit pieces.
It is a very convenient thing. The reason you don't see any interviews with me, I don't take any interviews.
Nah.
It's not that because no one gives a fuck about me.
Yeah. The AP writers, they're all calling me every day.
Wall Street.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
I don't think so.
But here's the thing.
What?
Newspaper editors.
What about them?
They're spies.
For COINTELPRO?
Yeah, they're COINTELPRO people putting YouTube comments. No, they're all spies. And Alex goes from there.
Yes, you work for a major newspaper. Your editor is a spook. Your editor works for the Pentagon, for the offshore banks. Got it? The same people jacking your water supply with poisons. It's the same reason you got a high voice and you can't even get a rouse for your wife. That's why. They hit you with chemical weapons. They mean business, pal.
Okay.
This isn't a game. You understand?
Not really.
These people are going for everything. They're ruthless. They're far beyond driven. They have absolutely no qualms about anything. Because if you're going to be evil, why not go all the way? That's their attitude. Well, my attitude is if you're going to be good, why not go all the way? So grow up and realize you're under attack by a scientific dictatorship. Okay, hold on. I said I was going to talk about my film. Your calls are coming up. Okay, this documentary, and I know Watson's writing an article off this. You don't have to use my exact words, Watson. This needs to be really a good story you're doing. We all multitask. We even do our backside work out, right out here in the open as he writes a blurb for this afternoon.
Yeah, you may have forgotten. there's talk of a documentary that is still coming.
Oh, I genuinely completely forgot about that.
Yeah. So how do you feel about learning that all newspaper editors are spies and they're involved in poisoning the water?
I just feel like you've got to have... It seems too busy. Yeah. It seems too busy. If you've ever seen an editor of a newspaper at work, they're very busy people.
Right.
They don't have time to spy.
They have deadlines.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty strict ones.
Who would be... But, okay... If you are hiring an editor to be a spook, mm-hmm. to poison the water supply,
right?
What paper do you go with?
London Guardian.
Obviously.
Obviously. It's an obvious choice. Yeah. That or Mad Magazine.
Mad Magazine. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. Could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
I was going to go with Butts and Thighs.
Butts and Thighs.
Did you ever read that one?
No, but speaking of which, I have been scandalized on this trip to the United Kingdom by walking into stores and seeing stroke books on the shelves.
On the shelves.
I'm not judging. I just, it's different than back home.
You know, children could see that.
Yeah. Just banish the thought.
Yeah.
So we got this documentary that Alex is teasing. Mm-hmm. And I should say that I'll go ahead and reveal now. The documentary is called Fall of the Republic.
Mm.
And basically, we're going to get into in this next clip an explanation of what happened. And what happened is that Alex rushed the Obama deception because he wanted to get it out while everyone was excited about the election. And now he wants kind of a do-over. So he's trying to be like, yeah, this is really the one.
Right,
this is
right,
really
right.
The documentary.
This is the double deception of Obama.
Yes. Yeah. So here's him touching on that a tiny bit and giving what I can only describe as the best sales pitch ever.
I made the Obama deception. I did research for 2 or 3 months, but then we made it really in a month and a half. A rush job, biggest film I ever made. People think it's my best work. Just because we didn't fret too much about it and just got it done, get her done, as they say. This one I meant to put out quick. I didn't. I've spent, I don't know,
week.
Spent quite a few months.
All right.
I've already spent 4 months. It'll be 5 months making it. It has the biggest budget of any documentary I've ever made. We have conducted 19 sit-down interviews where I put crews on airplanes.
Wait.
19.
It's a lot.
And there's probably 50 other interviews. I mean, man on the street. It's insane. My problem with this film is I did so many interviews. Let me tell you who's in it. Gerald Celente.
Whoa.
Oh, we got Celente.
Alan Watt.
Whoa.
Let me write all these out.
Yeah, you probably should.
It's a real rush job, though.
Big names like this, you gotta write this out in advance. You don't want to forget anybody. You got Gerald Celente in there.
I like that, but it's such a weird way of measuring how much work you've done. I sent 19 crews on planes.
Yeah. To do interviews.
Does it not count if they drove?
I wonder if some of them were by train.
Yeah. Yeah,
I would like an accounting. I would
very much like an invoice.
I have watched this documentary, and they needn't send those 19. That was unnecessary.
Yeah,
I don't know if maybe it was before it would have been really easy for these people to just record themselves on their phones.
Sure,
but they could have. Gerald Celente is in it, my man.
Oh boy!
Oh, so exciting.
Okay,
and then Alan Watt, not Alan Watts,
not Alan Watts. Famous
Watt.
Buddhist.
Alan Watt, the...
Famous piece of shit.
I don't know how to describe him. Mm. He's strange.
Mm.
He's wrong about a lot of stuff. Weird New World Order shit. So yeah, Alex rushed the Obama deception, and now it's just like, well...
I can't believe that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, going through his citations list...
It was better than for Endgame. Because... Sort of.
The bar is low.
Yeah. No, I will say, as you know, we did do episodes covering the Obama deception documentary, and I will say that it did feel rushed.
Yeah.
So on some level, it is nice to have clarification about that, confirmation from Alex that he could have spent a little more time.
Maybe.
But you know what? You gotta get it out there. People aren't going to be talking about Obama a couple months later.
It is really...
This is when you got to strike while the iron's hot.
I mean, it is just revealing, like, hey, we do not give a fuck if what we're saying is true. It's got to be out by then.
Yeah.
The end.
Get it out the door. Yep. You know what? He could help. It would help him if he had a spy working there.
Yeah.
And by that, editor? I mean an editor. Yeah.
First draft, last draft, get it out the door.
Yeah. So Alex talks a little bit more here about how he rushed the Obama deception.
Let me tell you what the film is about.
Obama?
Mm-hmm.
It is a companion to the Obama deception, and it's about Obama and his lies and the frauds and the deception, but the overall agenda he's trying to implement of eugenics, of a world government, of a bank of the world, of the cashless society, of the federalization of the states, how they're bankrupting the states by design. The film starts with the economic takeover, how Obama's continuing that, what his larger agenda is, cap and trade, the eugenics, John P. Holdren, Jay Rockefeller, it's all in there.
Those are some words.
And the problem is how to boil this down to 2 hours. I'm trying to keep it at 120 minutes. And it is an unprecedented film, unprecedented scope, unprecedented research. I believe that it is going to rival or dwarf the Obama deception if you get it out to everybody. But I'll tell you, research and work-wise, it is much better.
How is it possible he's going to outdo the Obama deception?
I mean, that's a real insane thing for him to say.
It is, especially when he's describing the movie. He's like, it's about Obama and the deception.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. It's going to be as good as the movie that I've just said I didn't do as much work on.
I winged that one.
I worked extra hard on this one.
Right.
And it will not be as good as the one that I shit out.
Yeah.
In a month.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sold.
Good luck.
Did I tell you it has Gerald Celente in it?
I forgot, but now I'm excited.
The world's greatest trends forecaster. That's right. Which is a thing.
Yeah.
That,
he forecasts trends.
Yes. Beef will fall out of favor. I just got a really funny image of Gerald Celente sitting around just sort of like intuiting things from the universe.
Yeah.
No one will use pens anymore. That is kind of what I think his newsletter is.
I believe it.
Yeah. I haven't read much of it. So, look, this movie is going to come out. And look, I'm not going to pull the rug later and say that it didn't come out.
I was waiting for you to
I
do that.
I realized that it was getting dangerously close to me, seeming like I was doing that kind of a setup.
Yeah.
But no, it does come out. But for now, it's gestating. And by that, Alex seems to be wanting to talk about that kind of literally.
Obama deception is great. People should get it out to everybody. But, I mean, this film, it's like being pregnant. I can't wait to see this baby. When you're looking at your wife's stomach and you see the arm or leg moving around, you want to see that baby. Can't wait to have it bouncing on your knee. And we're definitely in labor here, ladies and gentlemen, on a biggin. This is going to be like a 12-pounder. And
is it a fish or a boy?
Let's say my other kids, you know, the Obama deception is like a 10-pounder. My son was over 10 pounds. That's rough on one when the first one's a 10-pounder.
Yikes.
But the point is this is a labor of love. It is dynamic.
That is the point. Yeah.
What was it? I think it's Day of the Dead,
mm-hmm.
where she gets turned into a zombie, right? And then gives birth to a zombie baby.
You mean the new
baby?
Day of the Dead?
Yeah, the dead.
The one where
where the baby is a zombie and it crawls out and is like,
Yeah, yeah.
Alex looking at somebody's stomach makes me feel like that's about to happen.
That makes me think that he thinks.
Yeah, that's about to happen. Like he's looking at somebody's stomach move and he's like, I'm going to eat that baby.
Yeah.
Mm.
I had to do it before it eats me.
Yeah, that's what you have to do. It's a matter of survival.
So one of the things I think about Alex that's so like fascinating is these turns of phrase. Like and just the way he describes things are fascinating. Like, you know, not like we're, you know, it's in the oven or something, or, you know, like we're working hard on this. It's like, nope, we're going to give birth to this documentary. It's a 12-pounder.
Yeah, he finds a way.
Big baby.
He finds a way to add creep to just about everything.
Yeah, it's disturbing.
Yeah.
Disturbing.
I went out to get a soft drink. Mm-hmm. It looks like pee, and I peed it. And you're like, but why did you say any of this to me? Leave me alone.
Hey, look, I'm alive.
Stop it.
With consciousness.
No! How much more discernment can you take?
Oh, don't resist the great adventure of getting pregnant with a documentary with me.
Who's the father?
That's a great question.
Because I feel like Alex is the mother in this situation.
Come on.
God is the
father. Of course. Well, it's an immaculate documentary conception.
Isn't he always the father?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So in this next clip, Alex is, I guess I would describe this as his mania, sort of swinging towards violence.
Okay.
We've had a lot of the, like, I'm on fire, but it's just like, really,
yeah.
No,
yeah,
you're yeah, not. Yeah. Now he starts to get a little bit angry.
Frankly, I'm so excited about it, but I'm running out of time. I have to stay on deadlines, and I've got so much material, so much info, and my guys are burning out, but they want to work harder, and we're in here working hard for you. You better know that we're forging you in the fires of the InfoWars Command Center, a great sword, a great weapon against the New World Order, forged in the flames of truth, laboring like Vulcan and Festus over the great war forge, slamming the hammer down as sparks fly and sweat pours off my soul.
Sir, this is a library.
We will grapple with the New World Order. We will struggle. We will win. We will find the throat and tighten our sinuous hands around the neck.
Well, don't do that.
I am just seething with energy right now. It's unbelievable. Good thing I only had one cup of coffee this morning. This is not coffee. I am just... Man, thank you, God, for all the blessings. Thank you for giving me consciousness.
Thank you for making me real weird.
Yeah, this is scattershot right now.
Yeah.
That was bonkers.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not like if you'd listened to all the surrounding stuff, it would make more sense.
I didn't think so. No. I didn't think so.
Mm-mm. Just a lot of weird shit about wanting a sword. And then to choke a globalist. Or something.
Yeah, there was
my sinewy hands around your neck. Why?
I mean, the metaphor was not consistent.
No. That's why he should have been at a library.
Yeah,
someone could have taught him about that.
I just feel like if you've made a sword, you don't strangle a guy. Mm. Like, I just feel like that makes sense. You forged a sword, and then you're gonna strangle a guy?
Well,
at least try and get a free gun out of it. Right.
Here's what's happened. Run out of bullets on the free gun.
Right.
Your sword got lodged in somebody.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
So then, you know, you got to use your sinewy hands at a certain point. You know?
Who taught him the word sinuous?
I don't know.
Somebody needs to take it back from him.
Ooh, that would be fun.
Yeah.
If you could take words back.
If you could take words back.
if only.
Yeah.
So Alex earlier was listening to Hurt.
Yep.
And we got quite emotional. And it is rare that we get a two-song episode.
Ooh.
But here we are. It's time to rock out again.
Against themselves. Crimes against their true design. But some would argue that they were destined from the foundation of the earth to play the part they play now. And all of us set to play our part in this great creation. This moment and forever. in which we all live for eternity. Yes, the seasons don't fear the reaper. Able to fly.
Oh, see, that's different. He's not feeding lines. Oh. Now he's in direct conversation with the song.
Right.
Oh, we will be there.
No, he's just, we will be like them. Dead.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll be like they are. They are dead.
I'm struggling with the globalist crimes against themselves.
Yep.
Right? So the globalists have committed crimes against themselves mm-hmm. and against their own plan.
Right.
What are those crimes?
Can't help you. I got no idea.
Okay. So they're destined to commit these crimes.
Well, yes, there's predestination to probably their bad bloodlines or something like that.
Right. Okay. So why is an editor a spy?
Oh. Because they're always poking in trying to look at your work.
All right.
You know?
I'm just saying.
If there is a position in a newspaper that is a spy, it's a fucking editor.
Yeah, probably. That sounds right.
You bring your work to them and they're like, yeah.
I can't disagree with you there.
Uh-huh.
But I'm saying is your editor spying on himself?
Well, he's destined to.
Exactly. Yeah. It's crimes against their own design.
Yeah, yeah.
Weird. So what are we doing talking about it? Like, what is Alex thinking? Like, well, it's all going to happen exactly the way it's supposed to.
I think he was just listening to the Blue Oyster Cult.
Yeah.
And kind of...
It's a pretty good song.
Started saying some words. But you can tell, like, a marked difference from, like, the hurt to this.
Yes. But it's a more upbeat kill yourself song.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
Yeah, it's like, oh, we're gonna put a little zhuzh on this self-sacrifice.
There's a slight romanticism that you could be excused for saying. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Definitely. Man, influential sketch, that one, huh? I gotta hide under the table.
I have been shamed! I have been shamed, sir!
Sometimes you say incredibly obvious things, and then it feels very... No, I wasn't trying to be mean.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'm saying people love that sketch.
Huh?
In hindsight, we can look at it now and say like that made a lot of difference.
Oh, I thought you were pointing out that it wasn't very interesting of me to do.
No, I was making an uninteresting observation myself.
All right.
That's what happened.
This whole thing is broken down.
Right.
Yeah.
So okay. We can put it back together. We need an editor. Is there a spy?
Holy shit, they're under that. They have been spying the whole goddamn... Okay.
Oh, all right. Oh, damn. So we got actually only one more clip, unfortunately. And it's Alex singing along to Go, Go, Godzilla.
Three songs!
No, it's not.
That would have been a great closer.
Yeah, it would.
That would have been a really great one.
Don't really know how to introduce this clip. I said earlier before I played the clip of Alex enjoying Hurt that I could hype it for quite a while, half an hour I believe I said, and would not disappoint. This is the same sort of clip. There are times when you listen to InfoWars and you think, what the fuck is going on over there?
Right.
And then there's times when I am listening to it and I think, what the fuck is going on over there?
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you all about this and you're like, oh, that's weird. But for me, when I'm listening to it, having absorbed so much of this, to hear something and be like, this doesn't sit right. This is unprofessional.
I've about reached my breaking point.
No, not really. I'm more fascinated by the level of professionalism that's going on here. So to give you a little bit of a brief context of where we're at, he's talking to like some of his behind the scenes staff.
Yeah.
And so that's what's going on. And I'm going to give you no other warning. Enjoy one of the weirder things I've heard on the show.
Okay.
We need a matchmake for Neihardt. He broke up with his girlfriend about a year ago. We need to give out Neihardt's email. He's a good patriot and he's a good girl. I'm serious. What's your email, Hartman? I'm going to get you a date right now. All right. Hartman will screen them for you. So what's Hoosier's email? Hartman at Infowars.com. Any eligible ladies that want to go out on a date with this lovesick titan of liberty, Jaron Neihardt, he's a good guy. A little bashful. Send those emails. I can't. I'm just having some fun. I'm serious, though. He's so lovesick out there, and I was seeing his destiny to have children down the road. So we need to make sure that happens. I'm fulfilling your destiny, Neihardt. All the ladies send their emails. What is it again? Hartman at Infowars.com. And then he'll give them to Jaron, who will shake when he reads them. Oh my God, I can only handle so much intensity before my mind begins to melt and fail. I am blasted by reality, the scope and breadth and depth of it, all the beautiful facets, the fractal design, the beauty. I want to tell you about eFoodsDirect.com.
That's wild.
Nothing could just like, what is happening?
I mean,
you're trying to get your staff member laid so he can have children and fulfill his destiny. And you start saying all kinds of weird shit, then you pivot to a food ad.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What? Yeah, can you, I immediately see like a local broadcast news where they're like, oh, we're going to go live to the person on the ground. Oh, well, so there's a car accident over here. Hey, man, you seem lonely. Y'all right? There's a car accident and no, come on. You might need some. You know what I'm saying? It's on TV what we're saying right now. It's good.
Yeah, the anchor is trying to get the person who's doing remotes laid. Yeah, like, come on.
Hey, there's a pretty girl behind you. What?
Talk to her. Talk to her, bro.
Give out your email
bro,
address.
She doesn't have a ring on her finger. Go for it. You must fulfill your destiny to have children.
That's it. That's the real problem.
You must reproduce.
There's not enough you must fulfill your destiny going on in the local news these days.
That is true. That is true. I mean, that's just an overwhelming moment.
Yeah.
That is a remarkable thing to have happened and for us to all have been able to enjoy.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's no way it would have happened if the London Guardian had... Oh man. So oh, do you boy. Think it worked?
Do you oh think my you got God. Some dates? Did you follow you did not. How you, there's would no I? Way I listen, I don't know. I don't know what powers you have these days.
So I contacted Hartman.
Well, you've got his goddamn email address.
That's true. I think he still does work there. Hartman's one of those long timers.
Yeah.
He's been there, yeah. Been there quite a while. Yeah, I bet it did work.
I bet it did work.
I bet
yeah.
It did. I think it's a third party who they're trying to get laid. There's Hartman who's going to screen the emails.
Oh, my God.
And then this other guy. Yeah.
That's no good.
No.
That's really uncomfortable.
It's intrusive on the part of a boss.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, shows he cares. Too much?
There's an arguability there.
I've done a lot of years in the service industry, and I can't imagine. I'm working at Dairy Queen, and my boss comes over there. We gotta get you laid.
Yeah. Yeah, come on.
Also, let me tell you about my packaged food company.
Yeah, it is what? Crazy. There would be consequences for an employer who did that to you, but Alex can do it on the goddamn radio in front of the world.
I want to say that 2009 was a different time.
Yeah,
but
it wasn't.
Not really.
Nope.
I guess 2009 was a different time because he doesn't care about his employees as much anymore. This wouldn't happen in 2023 because he's mad at the crew.
You know what? I'm mad at the crew for not getting laid last night. Yeah. I set him up. Yeah. I set him up with all these people at the Texas Roadhouse.
Right. I went out. I brought Mystery along to give him some tips. Actually, crazy. That guy, Strauss, Neil Strauss, who wrote The Game.
Yeah.
He was going to write a book with Alex.
There's just not enough guys.
Yeah.
There's not enough guys.
There's a one... I was making a joke about Alex hanging out with Mystery right now, and then I realized, pickup artist, he's right there. He probably knows Mystery.
He probably does.
Wow.
Oh, man. We've just come to a real revelation about 2009.
Right.
Finally.
I'm full of discernment. Dear Lord, thank you for giving me the... whatever.
Yep.
So that, you know, hey, brings us to the end of this here excursion. I think we've learned a lot. Yeah, you're right, we haven't. We've learned a few things.
We've learned a few things.
I told you, you know, before we, you know, came down, like, not a lot going on this episode. Just a lot of bullshit. And I think I was right.
You've established that, yeah.
So, until next time. I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.